Call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Yes, this morning I talked to our correspondent Zoe Canandes from Radio Adelaide in South Australia, and we discussed the releasing of letters between Buckingham Palace and the Governor General Sir John Kerr in 1974, when Kerr decided to remove Prime Minister Gough Whitlam from office, as well as the establishment of a Truth and Justice Commission for the Aboriginal people in Victoria. But first, I asked Zoe about the latest situation on the coronavirus in the states of New South Wales and South Australia.
We're seeing a little outbreak in New South Wales again. I was talking last week about Victoria's unfortunate second wave that's happening right now. We're seeing a lot of new cases every day, quite substantial numbers in Victoria, and we have a feeling now that this little outbreak in New South Wales could be directed to some people crossing back over the border, and hopefully this isn't going to cause a second wave in New South Wales. Victoria has had to go back into level 3. Victoria are sort of toying with the idea of going back into level 4, which is pretty alarming considering the rest of the country.
So levels 3 and 4 are a full lockdown, right?
Level 4 is a full lockdown. Can't really go out at all. Mm-hmm. Level 3, I think, is back to essential services and things like pubs and restaurants and whatnot completely shut. And, you know, non-essential things completely shut. Level 4, I think, is just a bit... I think level 4 was what you guys were in, right, when it first happened?
Yeah.
So similar to that. But yeah, we're seeing a little outbreak again in New South Wales, a little cluster that some are saying linked to a pub, a little outbreak in a pub. But who knows? It's just, yeah, a little bit scary. We're all kind of holding our breaths at the moment. I'm here in South Australia, so I don't really have... We don't have any new cases, but obviously we have people who maybe are wanting to come back home from Victoria or this, that, the other. So we're just hoping that everything gets settled. But it is quite confronting.
The last time I got in touch with you, we were discussing about state border travel restrictions. Have there been any updates since then?
A lot of the state borders are closed again. The one that I think it was the state border between Victoria and New South Wales was what I was talking about with you being closed for the first time in 100 years or something, and that's still the case. I think now that Victoria has seen the second wave, state governments aren't prepared or feeling confident enough to reopen any borders at this stage. So we've taken a couple of steps back in terms of the state borders opening again in that conversation. It just seems to be the right thing to do is to not open them.
Right. And what about South Australia? Has there been a second wave of coronavirus?
No second waves. I would like to acknowledge that all the planes that come back from overseas are going to Victoria, are going to Melbourne at this stage, I believe. So if someone, for example, was who lived in Adelaide, was coming back from another country, they would have to be quarantining in Melbourne anyway. So we haven't had any outbreaks or any new cases that I'm fully aware of, unless it has been someone who's come back over from the border and is known about it and they are in quarantine. But no community transmitted cases.
Right. And what about restrictions? Does South Australia still have any restrictions for now?
It's interesting. You walk through the supermarkets and the mall, and you're out and about and everything feels quite normal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Social distancing is still advised and still you have to do that. No one wears masks here in South Australia. an occasional mask. Mm-hmm. But we still have some restrictions on limits in pubs and in places. You'll see signs saying only 15 people can be in this area. But it does feel somewhat normal. Day-to-day life and walking around feels a little bit normal, but no restrictions, anything too serious, actually. It's weird because there is an air of complacency, and hand on heart, I probably have been complacent as well at the shops or whatever, and just not thought about it because everyone is kind of going back to normal. But yeah, there is an air of complacency too, so it's... Yeah, and then seeing Victoria, however, with their second wave, is a bit of a wake-up call for everyone, because you don't know if it could happen to your state and if you could be going back into stage three or four.
Right. Let's move on to the Palace Letters. Now, Professor Jenny Hawking of Queensland has recently won a court battle against the Australian Commonwealth to look at correspondence between the Governor General and the Buckingham Palace in the 1974 sacking of Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. And I know that recently the contents of the letters has been released.
Yeah, this one's a little bit of... It's quite interesting. It's almost a bit of a scandal for you today. We love a bit of a historical scandal. So these palace letters were released, and it's been noted that the Queen and her representatives, the then Governor-General John Kerr, he was quite influential in this lead-up to the Gough Whitlam's dismissal. And it has really brought to light the, quote, crown, quote, influence on this country, and the fact that the Queen didn't necessarily know anything about Gough Whitlam's being dismissed, but her representatives were sort of the neck turning the head, so to speak. And it's just interesting that this information has... or could potentially be a bit of a catalyst for a Republican movement again here in Australia, which is something that gets spoken about every now and then, potentially becoming a republic. Perhaps maybe that's the same in New Zealand, and not having this influence of a monarch anymore. I think this case highlights that these letters, this decision shouldn't have been up to a monarch to make, I guess, the dismissal of a prime minister, but it was, and it still could happen again technically now. These letters have been really quite interesting.
Do you think the release of the letters could bring in fresh support for republicanism in Australia, though?
I think it will, among people who are really keen for a republic here in Australia. It's so hard to say. I think the Republican movement... I know Labor were really promising that before the last election they wanted to put a referendum out to become a republic. That was one of their big promises before last year's election. But it doesn't... It might spark a bit of motivation and incentive to the Republican movement here in Australia. So currently, obviously, we're in a global pandemic. We have a Liberal government. I don't see these letters at this time making much of an influence for right now, but perhaps in the future, if this conversation is to be started up again, in future elections with future promises from future politicians, these letters will potentially be used as evidence and a way to make the public see the influence and the authority that the monarch, the crown, has over Australia.
And speaking of the Crown, we should move on to our final topic, which the state of Victoria has announced its first Truth and Justice Commission to recognise the ongoing injustices against Aboriginal peoples. So what can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, Victoria, they're going to set up a truth and justice process to recognise the historical wrongs and ongoing injustices against Aboriginal people. The process will work in parallel with the treaty process, which is currently underway, and it will be designed and led by First Peoples Assembly of Victoria. The terms of reference for truth-telling process are yet to be determined, but they said they will work will begin immediately, and this is what the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Gabriella Williams, said. The First Nations Assembly of Victoria voted last month for a truth and justice process. Obviously, this is all being brought to light with the Black Lives Matter resurgence here in Australia and our recognisation of our own wrongdoings here with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths in custody. And this process and this truth and justice process will be a way and a step forward to hopefully be able to stop and to prevent these things from happening.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.